103.9 WRBI Batesville, Greensburg, Brookville, Versailles now presents Southeastern Indiana's longest running and most listened to sports show, Coach's Corner, broadcasting from the Coach Raver Corner at Ison's Family Pizza.
And welcome, sports fans, to another episode of Coach's Corner as we broadcast live from Ison's Family Pizza here in downtown Batesville. Stop by, drive by, blow your horn, just let us know you're listening, and feel free to come on in and get a great slice of pizza and hear directly from the coaches throughout this area that make these programs move and the student athletes that make them so fun to follow and watch. We want to thank you for joining us this week. Great show lined up. And just speaking of the word so fun, this past week, you know, multiple coaches said to us that this is the funnest week of the year, and it truly lived up to the hype in terms of being a fun week. Myself, all of my colleagues, had a great time bringing those games to you, and we look forward to continue to do that as boys basketball postseason is in full swing. But on the show, we'll talk, we're going to change it up a little bit. We've been talking basketball for so long, seems like, as we are headlong into, as I mentioned, the postseason now. We're going to mix it up a little bit and talk track and field. Today, I have an opportunity to talk to not one but two head coaches for track and field. We'll talk to Batesville's own Lisa Gausman, as well as have an opportunity to move up the road just a bit and talk with the head of the Greensburg program. And we'll also have a closeout session, if you would, with basketball, talking Coach Matt Prickle for the Milan Indians, and of course, as always, like to start things off with Batesville's head coach, Aaron Garrett. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Terrence.
You know, I always like to, I always like our conversations on the Monday after, but because you, obviously, you look at that film completely differently from the way I watch a game. And I always wonder to myself, is there anything that jumped off the tape that you didn't notice during the game or didn't recognize during the game or something that jumped off that really reinforced something that you already thought about that game?
Sure, and you can go through all three games, going back to South Dearborn, in terms of just the plays that guys made. And you talk about sitting here with a sectional championship. As I told the guys tonight, it always takes a little bit of luck. So as we go into this next week, going against number four, Scottsburg, their five starters are quite dynamic in terms of length, height, offensive ability. But we said going into sectional, the sectional championship's not our ceiling.
Right.
So these guys are not happy just to be there, and we're going to prepare and go into Seymour to try to get a win and continue to advance to the state tournament. But it takes a little bit of luck. At that South Dearborn game, Tiki, really, really good player, has a three-pointer hanging on the rim with 30 seconds left. That would have put them up one.
Yeah.
It bounces off. We get the rebound. We close that game out. You go to Connersville game, and a pesky Connersville team who got us in January to our place. They're kind of hanging around. It's 7 to 10 points. We're turning the ball over some. We can't get away, and then we have a flurry in the fourth, and we end up winning that thing by 17. And that sets the stage for Lawrenceburg game. In both nights, Terrence, which is kind of odd, we set through an overtime game before we were able to play our Wednesday game. Mm-hmm. And then we set through a triple overtime game on Friday before we were able to go take the floor against Connersville. So the state tournament's just so much fun.
Right.
And I think ours has a little bit of added spice to it, if you will, in terms of being a sectional. They're all EIAC teams. It's essentially a conference tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew Lawrenceburg would be tough. We got them way back in December on their home floor. But we made some tweaks and changes in terms of how we thought we needed to do the game plan defensively. And Connersville's well coached. They had some counters. They took some things away from us. So at halftime, we had shot, I think, over 70% from three.
Yep.
Field goal percentage of over 60%. And yet we were only up two.
Right.
After holding Lawrenceburg with our zone at 36%, we turned the ball over too much.
Uh-huh.
And watching back the film, We did not close out either first quarter or second quarter well in terms of taking possession of the ball and controlling our own destiny. And then it's back and forth, back and forth, and Cornette hits those two bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple costly turnovers that could have been disastrous, but these guys just battle through.
Right.
And probably the most telling stat is 8-for-8 from the free throw line in the fourth quarter in a sectional championship game. Because watching back, it just reinforced probably what I really saw during the game. I mean, it was a physical battle.
It was.
And to the officials' credit, I mean, I think Lawrenceburg, Coach Cutter could look at film and see that they would have some some complaints and some calls too.
Sure.
So it probably did over the course of a game even out. But it was just fun seeing a team just battle. Because Lawrenceburg was battling. Kniga, for them, for example, he's a guy that was on our scouting report that we had to match and supersede his effort.
Right.
We could not let him out physical and out tough us, especially in the middle of our zone. And Jack and Cade got the bulk of that task. But then all the way around our roster, because we opened up the game just on fire from deep.
Mm-hmm.
And you look back at stats, Cade Kaiser does not score a 2-point field goal. And Jack Grunkmeyer, I was amazed at this stat because the game goes so fast.
Yes.
You think you know things happen. When you look at the book afterwards or you talk to coaches about stats and then as you watch the film, if you'd told me Cade would only score 1 2-point bucket,
right.
Jack Grunkmeyer would only score 2 points the entire game, it's like, oh boy, we're in trouble.
Uh-huh.
But Jack dominated that game
yes.
in different regards in terms of facilitating. He made this huge pass on a double team from high low to Sam at the top of the key for a 3-point shot. That just, quite frankly, sealed the game.
Right.
And just, it's just amazing to me how games can be influenced. You don't necessarily have to score points. There's a lot of other things, a lot of other factors in games mm-hmm. besides just the scoring. But on that note, guys that did step up, we played 7. And different guys did different things for us in terms of, but you've got to highlight, I think Sam Johnson there in the fourth quarter had the big 3-pointer, had a big pull-up along the baseline when things were a little treacherous for us, hit his free throws. But if you had to single out one guy,
yeah,
there's no doubt it's Gus Prickle.
Big shot Gus.
Big shot Gus, all 5. He's listed. I don't know what he's listed at, 5'10". He's not 5'10". In case the Scottsboro coaches are listening with all their height at 6'4", 6'5", 6'9", 6'7". But all 5 foot, probably 8 of him, he just made big shots.
He did.
And the threes, but then when they were kind of messing with us with their 1-1-3, he cut on the wing right in front of our bench, one hard dribble, got to the elbow, and pulled up and hit a tough, tough pull-up from the elbow. Then he hits one from the baseline.
Yeah.
Just a tough guy.
Yeah.
And you just feel the energy. One time on film, it was a quick pass to Cade to the wing. Cade quickly related over to Gus in the corner. Gus hits it. And like we talked all year with Mudita, Cade is as fired up or maybe even more fired up than Gus who hit the shot.
Yes.
I mean, you see things like that happen.
Yeah.
In late game, Gronk, who's a... Gronk and Sam especially, they're very, very consistent, which I'll take all day, every day. But you finally saw some emotion released from that young man in terms of just how fired he was, how fired up he was to bring this sectional championship not only to our program, to this team, Team 104, but to the community.
Yes.
And that's a fun, fun ride to be on, and this week's going to be a fun week for him.
So let me, if you would, let me go on a little bit of a soliloquy here, because when I look at that championship game, in a lot of ways it's a microcosm of the season in terms of what you've been telling me all season long about this team. You talked to me early on about if we play defense the way I know that we can, we're going to be fine. The tag team defense between Kaiser and Jack, good gracious, I mean, they really had a game of the ages from the defensive end, the two of them. And you know, Cade started out, then you made some changes. Jack comes in, didn't miss a beat, you know. And I even said on air to Jim at one point, he defended that shot and he never even left his feet. I mean, he was an oak tree, literally, could not be moved. And then you would talk to me about this team wants to win for each other. To your point, there was one play where actually, I believe it was T. Lou hit a huge three, and he looked straight to the eyes of Gus. Gus looked, and they were both like, yeah, that's the way we do it. And, you know, and it was just rippling throughout the whole team after every time someone hit a big shot. Nobody had their shoulders shrug about, well, I was open. They were all excited and hype about it. But here's the one. Here's the real one. This team, there was a lot of challenges, obstacles, whatever word you want to use, in that game. And it didn't come from the guys in orange necessarily all the way through. At one point, Coach Cutter even looked at you and said, "Yeah, that was a foul. That wasn't called." But those guys never vacillated. I haven't seen this team panic ever. They just stayed the course. And here's one thing that I've noticed about this team, more so than any Batesville team that I've had the pleasure of watching: they legitimately take their cues from you. And what I mean by that is, when something happens to them, they don't look at each other, they don't look to the other player, they don't look at the ref, they look straight to you, and they take their cues from you. They see you, for the most part, calm, collected, and that's what they are. And it's just an amazing thing to watch this group of 15, 16, 17-year-old kids playing beyond their years from an emotional standpoint. Their emotional IQ is off the chart. We don't talk about emotional IQ in high school sports a lot, but their emotional IQ is off the chart, and it served them well this whole season. And again, it was just so much on display in that game, and not from one or two people. Everybody, 1 through 7. It's phenomenal, and it's really, really been fun to watch. And I guess I just got to start listening to you more, because you laid it out. You laid it out for me, you know, the first 4 or 5 weeks and every conversation that we had, and all that came into fruition and was all on display Saturday night. Just a heck of a season and a heck of a way to culminate that sectional championship, that sectional run, and to get you springboarded into a state tournament.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. It's fun to watch when it comes together. And we do a lot of work off the basketball floor. Mm-hmm. The Batesville High School is invested into a program called Champions 101, which we've utilized. We do a lot of culture. We do a lot of film work. And not just X's and O's film work, but let them hear from a Nick Saban, some other voices. And it was a battle out there. It's the most physical game I think I've been a part of, mm-hmm, as a head coach. Mm-hmm. And when there's not being calls, and here, how in the world do we win with 18 turnovers?
Yeah.
We had 18 turnovers in a sectional championship game, most of which, as you very kindly put it, were self-inflicted, right? They're maddening, mm-hmm, but Lawrenceburg's a very quick, athletic, strong team. To overcome all that, you've got to do it together. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have any single individual just take over. Collectively did it together. We're happy for each other. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch. And that was what was so satisfying, because did I get nervous during the game when Sam had a really good look that went all the way in and out? I'm like, man, that was a big shot right there that didn't go in. What's that going to lead us to? But we went down 3-0, immediately took the lead, and we never gave it up from that point. And then they just battled together. And like the middle of the defense, we did switch Kate and Jack around because they're two different defenders. Kate had 5 blocks Friday, had 5 blocks Saturday.
Yeah.
But a Kaniga, a Bobo, they're going to get admired, all good players. They're going to get used to that matchup. So then you put Grunk in there, who's not going to jump up and block shots, but you're not going to get around him because he's got the girth, he's got the strength. But that young man, he's a D1 athlete, so he can move his feet.
Yeah.
So a totally different type of matchup. But then the other one, they got to play the wing, and they did equally well at that. And then the rotations around him, we only got lost twice in that game, but our perimeter guys, our other wing, our guards, did a phenomenal job of what the correct high post puncture was, what's the slide, and just there were times where Lawrenceburg didn't even know where to go to the ball.
Right.
And I think we even got 1 3-second call on them because they did not get a shot over our goalie, and they had nowhere else to go with the ball, and we were able to get a 3-second call. So just a phenomenal team performance. And we did fine offensively, but to overcome 18 turnovers, that speaks to that free throw shooting, that speaks to getting the right shots when we actually didn't turn the ball over. And it's just a testament to these guys. And Terrence, I tried. Probably this apparatus helped me in terms of not continue to go after the officials. Because every time I went after the officials, those games typically haven't went well for us. And it typically doesn't change any calls.
Right.
So it's hard because you saw a very, very physical game. Like I said, it was physical for Lawrenceburg too.
Yeah, well, it was a physical challenge, no doubt. So you spin things forward now. regional championship we held just down the street, honestly, in Seymour to take on Scottsburg. Before I get to that point, I do want to let you wax poetically about that crowd, because they were in full effect. Batesville, I would say at a glance, probably outnumbered the Lawrenceburg crowd easily 2-1, maybe 3-1. Batesville showed up and showed out, and in those moments when they needed it most, they were letting those young men know that they were there for them, and they truly fueled that team there in the second half.
Yeah, and we've picked up fans as the seasons went along in terms of just how the word gets out about this team, Team 104, and how they play. And then at this time of year, and you'll definitely see it this next Saturday, you'll see some faces that I haven't seen in a while in terms of parents from years gone by, players from years past. So it's just an exciting time. And I'll add to that, my phone has been blowing up since Saturday night.
Yeah.
And that's always fun, hearing from former players, from former parents of players, fans of the program, the alumni of the program. And it just brings it all together. So I would love, and like Cole Pride, 6'9" out there, who I always tell us to his parents, he could have been on this year's team because he's that young, but we won't contemplate that. But he was so fired up for his teammates and felt like he was a part of it, because he is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Hearing from players from 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And the hardest thing about being a coach, Terrence, is I have not been able to get every young man up that ladder.
Yeah.
But we've definitely built young men that are champions, whether they cut down that net or not. And the Batesville faithful, there's nothing better than this town this week, next week, potentially the week after, in terms of making a tournament run. The kids are going to finally be able to experience what I've been telling them about.
Right.
You get past that sectional round, it makes you get to spring break so much faster. School goes by faster. We've got a lot of different things, which I'll talk about here real quick, lined up this week for them. And it's just a great, great week. And it's Batesville fans. They know the game. They appreciate the game.
Right.
Learning from Coach Seifert, we've always tried to make sure the game is played a certain way. You won't see any of the theatrics that you saw from some other teams in our sectional. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen, just because it's the Batesville on the front of the jersey is way more important than me. It's way more important than an individual player, because it's what the alumni expect. It's what the fan base expects. And I thought this group, that's why I'm most proud of them, is how they always represent us. I never have to worry how they're going to represent us on the floor, off the floor, as they interact with personnel and fans in a game. Because they know what the expectation is, and that's been set well before me, well before these players. But to adhere to it is much appreciated.
No doubt. No doubt about it. So no doubt Batesville will show up once again in Seymour. When you look at this Scottsburg team, you kind of alluded to it. It's a long, tall team. That's one of the challenges that they obviously bring. What else do you know about Scottsburg?
They're offensively explosive, so it's going to be a challenging game for us in that regard. We'll have to take care of the basketball better, period. We'll have to take care of the basketball better. We'll have to battle, I think, and I've not seen them in person yet, so it's going to be interesting to see them in person when we play them. But on film, if it was a battle of the weight room, I think we may have an advantage there, which will play out in a regional game. But we are capable of absolutely beating them. Yes, they're number 4 in the state. I've already told these guys, in 2019, Robert Raver, Trey Hyledge, that group, they beat number 2 in the state with one loss on their home floor.
Right.
So it's not a series. It's not a 3-game series, a 5-game series. It's a 1-game. And this team is absolutely built to be able to do that, because they are so tight and are connected. So regardless of challenge, it will definitely be a challenge. I think John Harrell already has us as a 14-point dog. On paper, I think most people would have us as the underdog, which I love it. Let's go. Let's bring it.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we didn't get an opportunity to talk a couple of weeks ago. It was the big snow day that kind of threw things around, and we got preempted by the Daytona 500, actually. That's what it was. That was the big rainy Sunday that pushed the 500, and due to our contractual obligations, we got preempted there. But had we have spoke that day, I would have asked you to reflect with me a little bit. That would have been about a day off, 1 day off of the 4-year anniversary of the passing of Ron Raver, the namesake of this show, Coach's Corner. And I would have asked you to reflect with us briefly on what he's meant to Batesville athletics, and particularly the successes that Batesville has had in terms of its student athletes.
I think it's very fitting you're going to talk to Coach Galsman after you talk to me, because T teaching, coaching were the passions of Coach Raver's life on the basketball side and on the track side.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer in track. And he just loved helping kids.
Yeah.
So, not going to lie to you, love spending these Mondays with you. But after a run like this, I miss Coach Raver.
Yeah.
Right? Because we grew so close over all the years of doing this show. And Sally reached out. So, always love seeing Sally. She's been able to come to a couple games. So, miss him dearly. He's the fabric of Batesville when we had his funeral. And just the notes from, just as I sound information from the basketball alumni, the notes that came back that I was able to share with the family. And just like this, the wins and losses, the records will be long forgotten soon.
Yeah.
But the impact made by Coach Raver on so many in the classroom too, not just in the athletic, on the basketball court, out at the track oval, but just the impact he made and relationships he built are remembered literally 40, 50, 60 years down the road. And then, right, the Coach's Corner, that was, I remember him faintly when I came to town in 99, 2000. I think that was near the very end of him doing the games live, mm-hmm. calling the games live. So then he spins this thing into a Coach's Corner that becomes a staple of, not Batesville, but southeastern Indiana.
Sure.
And Lisa will account for this too. I would listen to his interviews at times before I would come up, just to kind of time it out. It didn't matter if it was a Franklin County coach, a Central coach, a North Decatur coach. They'd mention something. His mind would click. He would have some connection to their parent, maybe even a grandparent, when they played and when he was coaching or whatnot.
All right.
So just the wealth of knowledge. He was absolutely a local treasure, and he's definitely smiling down this week.
No doubt about it, Coach. I know you got a lot to get to this week, and we'll let you do just that. We appreciate you spending the time with us. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday afternoon. Batesville, come on out. Just like you did this past weekend, show up and show out as these Bulldogs head to Seymour to take on Scottsburg in the regional championship. Coach, thanks so much.
Yeah, a couple quick things.
Hit me.
We will be having, and this will all be blasted on social media. I appreciate your shares of the social media that we put out. But there'll be an autograph night, pick up T-shirt apparel on Thursday. We'll get that information out. And then these guys will be available to sign autographs, take pictures, because that's a lot of fun.
Yep.
And then I want to specifically thank, like you said, the fans. And Wendy Meyer, Doug Meyer, Jay Malenko, and our booster club. They stepped up and they put out on Saturday morning that students show up at the game, we'll get you in free.
All right.
So they paid for over 70 kids to come to the basketball game.
That's phenomenal.
And hopefully the IHSAA at some point, this becomes statewide where students get in for free. But those individuals made it happen within a very short time period. Then Brian Helvey was able to organize it and be on site to get 70 plus kids into the game.
That's awesome.
And the last thing, a lot of people have congratulated me on being named an HBCA Coach of the Year for District 3.
You go, Coach. You go.
Which is awesome. But that's players, that's assistant coaches, that's program recognition.
Yeah.
And very, very humbled to be recognized by coaching peers across the state. Because it's not me. It's Batesville basketball. Because trust me, there's none of this I can do on my own. So my coaching staff is top-notch. And then the players. This current group, 104. But last year, the year before that, keep going on down the road. So just very, very humbled that Batesville basketball is out there being recognized in that manner. I'm a part of it, and it's a blessing in my life, but very, very thankful for those coaches and players. Thankful for WRBI. I'll let you get going on the next show, and we'll be talking on Saturday.
No doubt about it. That was Aaron Garrett, head coach for the Batesville Bulldog and Coach of the Year for District 3. More Coach's Corner coming up right after this on Country 103.9 WRBI, the new WRBI app.
Oh my, that's big.
Cecil Eisen here from Eisen's Family Pizza in downtown Batesville. Eisen's Family Pizza can satisfy even the biggest appetites with our 8-inch mega chip cookie.
Oh.
Our 12-inch That's a Big Pretzel.
My.
And our 20-inch hand-tossed pizzas.
That's big.
That come with a target printed on the bottom of the box.
Oh my, that is big.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for specials and events. Eisen's Family Pizza. Find us at 812-933-0333, eisensfamilypizza.com, or on George Street, downtown Batesville.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag Appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, Gehring's has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliance for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at Gehring's today. Whirlpool and Gehring's, 316 North Main, Batesville.
We don't sell you cars, we help you buy them.
Fleetwood Chevrolet at 950 North Michigan Avenue in Greensburg invites you to visit them. They're here to help you with your next new or pre-owned vehicle purchase, as well as all your service and parts needs. They're the home of Greensburg's only drive-in service lane and free oil changes for life with the purchase of a new vehicle. Give them an opportunity to earn your business at Fleetwood Chevrolet.
We don't sell you cars, we help you buy them.
You are tuned to Coach's Corner.
We want to thank Cecil and his crew here at Ison's Pizza for allowing us to be here. We want to thank all of our sponsors who make this all possible. Go out and support them, because not only do they make things like this possible, they keep your communities going, and that's very, very important.
103.9 WRVI.
Coach's Corner continues on Country 103.9 WRBI. A special thanks to our title sponsor, Ison's Family Pizza. Just a huge thanks to Cecil and his crew for their hospitality and always being the world's greatest host for this show. Also want to say thanks to Gehring's, Fleetwood Chevrolet, SEI Fiber by Indiana REMC, Hurt and Elko, and George's Pharmacy and Medical Equipment. Bulldogs will be in action again Saturday at 4 p.m. They will take on Scottsburg, and as you heard Coach say, the number four team in the state. That will not deter these Bulldogs. They'll be ready to go. Again, the game will take place at Seymour at 4 p.m. If you can't get to the gym, of course, we'll have it for you as well. Pre-game should start about a half hour before tip-off at 4 p.m. Now joining the program, head coach for Batesville Track and Field, Coach Lisa Gausman. Coach, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Terrence.
Wasn't that long ago we were talking about cross country, but now it's track and field time.
Yep. It is.
And you guys have been practicing here. This is almost, you've been about a month in right now.
Right. Mm-hmm, pretty close. Yep.
And this is for the indoor season.
Well,
now, tell me how that works.
Yeah. So, I mean, official practice does start for indoor and outdoor, and there is not, I don't think all schools participate in the indoor season.
Okay.
But, there is indoor, so March 23rd is indoor state, and that's going to be held at a new facility this year, which is at the state fairgrounds. Mm. So for many years, it's been in Bloomington at IU, but the state fairgrounds got together with some other coaches, and the Indiana Association of Track and Field and Cross Country was very prominent in helping move that along. And I know there are some area colleges that appreciate it very much, especially some of the small colleges that don't have a facility were able to use that. So they worked really hard at the fairgrounds to get this really nice banked 200-meter indoor track ready so that the colleges could use it. And then that's where the state meet's going to be held this year on March 23rd. So we're excited. And the other thing that's exciting about it is that it is two classes. So there's small school and big school. So 1 through 3A and then 4 and 5, which is not like that in outdoor season. So in outdoor season, it's just everybody.
Sure.
So it's nice.
So talk to me a little bit about the squad. So when you look at what you've got, what all did you bring back from last year?
Right. So we do have are a little bit smaller on both ends, actually. We had a big graduating class. So we only have, right now we have about 25 girls and just under 40 boys.
Okay.
But on the girls' side, I do have five that came that are, you know, still on the squad that were part of record-breaking events last year. So that's exciting.
Sure.
But I still do have, you know, a good upperclassman as far as that goes. There's on the boys' side, on the girls', well, like I said, we only have about 25. So, you know, it's pretty even upperclassmen to underclassmen. On the boys' side, we do have 11 seniors, but we have 21 juniors. So, so next year we'll have a really heavy senior class on that end. But probably the easiest to talk about would be what happened this past weekend.
Sure.
You know, as far as the talent that has come back. So
and this was the qualifying.
This is.
For the indoor
Correct.
State meet. Okay, go ahead.
Correct. So we had we went to Indiana Wesleyan. So this is a new meet that we haven't gone to before. So bright and early on Saturday, we left about 6 in the morning, a little bit over 2-hour drive to Marion, Indiana. But, you know, to get a good indoor facility, you got to that's what you got to do.
Sure.
Right. And some of these kids who aren't in maybe in a winter sport, you know, they've been conditioning since probably November.
Wow.
You know, so for them to then like kind of see how all this conditioning will pay off and, you know, and just being able to compete is nice, you know, and here's what we need to work on and whatnot. So
you have a lot of multi-sport athletes. I assume like a lot of cross-country kids probably participate, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there are a lot of multi-sport athletes. There's not a whole lot that are only track.
Okay.
There are a few. Mm-hmm. Most of them will do something.
Sure.
You know, whether it be soccer and track, football and track, or whatever. And then we do have a good handful that come from swimming.
Yeah.
And which is kind of crazy. This last couple of years, we have a lot of track kids that are in the choir.
Wow.
And so they had a big competition this weekend, and it was the end of their competition. So we didn't have any of them on Saturday, but they'll be able to compete. We're going to UND this Friday. So they'll be able to compete this Friday, which would be nice. And then we have had a couple of them that are also involved in the dance team.
Okay.
So, anyways, so and then a few on basketball, right? So get everybody together after all of that.
Right.
But this is kind of a nice, indoor is kind of nice for those kids that aren't involved in a winter sport and have been really, you know, conditioning and pushing things. So I was very, very pleased with what our progress and what happened on Saturday. We had probably a couple of the top things that happened. Aiden Eckstein cleared 6'7" in high jump. He's worked really hard and he ended up second. So him and a kid from Warsaw, we're going back and forth, and the kid from Warsaw actually attempted 7 foot. So he cleared 6'10" and attempted 7. But Aiden is now seated first for the state meet in small schools, right? And tied for second overall in the entire state.
Wow.
As far as everything that happened this weekend, right? So there's probably about, I want to say maybe about 10 meets that happened this past weekend on Friday and Saturday.
Right.
And then the other one would be Hudson Coleman. He was third in pole vault.
Okay.
And he is also seated third in the state.
Mm-hmm.
We have Ella King. So she's a freshman, and she got second in shot put.
Wow, as a freshman.
And yes, and she is seated third in the state. But the other thing, both about Aiden, which I should mention, and Ella, which I don't know when the last time this happened, but Ella is fifth in the nation as a freshman shot putter.
Shut up.
Yeah, and Aiden is eighth in the nation in high jump right now. So that's kind of cool.
That's amazing.
And then our 4x8 girls, they got fourth, but that places them second right now in the state. Our 4x8 boys got 11th, and they're going to, right now, they're projected to qualify for state. Aiden also got fifth in long jump. Our boys, 4x4 got sixth, but were seated second in small schools in the state. So that's kind of cool. Our girls 4x4 is eighth, and they're also seated eighth in the state. Our girls 4x2 is 10th. And so in indoor, that we have something called, when I say 4x2, sorry, that's of like 4x200, which is different. We don't run that outdoor. And then the other event that's a relay for indoor is called the DMR, which is the distance medley relay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 1200, 400, 800, 1600.
Okay.
And our girls are seated fifth in the state right now. And our boys, our boys didn't run it this time because we didn't have the.
Oh, the other kids.
Yeah. So we'll run it this weekend, and hopefully get a chance to qualify.
Let me ask you this: obviously, aside from the different events,
Is there a big difference, though, indoor versus outdoor?
Well, the indoor is a 200-meter track. Okay. And so sometimes that, especially the first time you do it, it's kind of hard to get used to, right? If you're used to a 400, and in your head you're doing one lap for a 400, well, indoor you're doing two laps. The exchanges can be kind of tricky, too. You know, they're coming around the corner. It's really hard for them to see. So it's not like you can see the whole track like you're in outdoors. You know, trying to, you know, those kind of changes. Sure. Also, they have the 60-meter dash and the 60-meter hurdles instead of the 100, right? Yeah. So, you know, and colleges, indoor is a big thing.
Right.
And they have a lot of different meets. So we just chose to do two qualifiers. We could do another one the following weekend, but that's kind of the start of our spring break, or you know, it's so we're getting that weekend off, and then the end of our spring break happens to be the state meet. So anyways, to mention a few other people that were involved this weekend, that makes a big difference and that came back or are new to the program. So on the boys 4x8 was Dave Ranka and Ethan Lacey, Cash Myers, and Cannon Clark. And then the 4x4 team that's ranked second is Gage Pullman, Cannon, Clark, Dave Ranka, and Blake Hornberger. And then on the girls' side, you'll hear a lot of the same names too, but the 4x8 was Kaylee Raver, Kaylin Badle, Paige Allgaier, and Megan Allgaier. And then those same four actually ran the DMR.
Okay.
And then the 4x4 was Megan Allgaier, Bailey Demery, Addison Lewers, and Kaylee Raver. And the 4x2 was Savannah Pullman, Addison Lewers, Nora Wiedemann, and Katie Lips.
Wow.
There's some freshmen in there and, you know, some sophomores, some upperclassmen. So even though we got a small group of girls, they're mighty. And the same thing for the boys. And, you know, and I'm looking forward to this weekend. So the ones that didn't have an opportunity to run, hopefully now, you know, we'll get a chance to run this Friday. And then we'll see where they stand.
Well, from what I'm getting from you is this sounds like a really, really talented squad. I mean, to have two individuals already ranked nationally in the top 10 in the nation in their individual discipline, I mean, that's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. We're pretty excited about that. Now it's just to keep them healthy, right?
And this week,
the key thing.
So this weekend, where is this weekend?
University of Indianapolis, so UND up in Indianapolis. Yeah, so we leave right after school on Friday, so it's Friday evening.
Fun.
Yeah, and like so, this past Saturday there are 31 different schools there. So this week on Friday there'll probably be somewhere between 20 and 25.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, and then this weekend there's a round of qualifying meets, and then next weekend there'll be a round of qualifying meets. And then the way it works for the indoor state, each event, you have to be your time or distance has to be one of the top 24 in the state to be able to compete at the state meet. Except for pole vault and high jump, you have to be in the top 18.
Okay,
so
just a few.
So we're
more
sitting pretty good right now.
I was going to say only a few more opportunities, because that's March 23rd. March 23rd, indoor state trials. That's awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, if you have anything to do at the end of spring break, it's at the state fairgrounds.
Okay.
We go in the morning, so it starts at 8:30, and then the big schools are in the afternoon.
And I understand, because this is a new state-of-the-art facility, a lot of records are falling by the wayside, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are a lot of colleges that have... Yeah, they're breaking a lot of records from this new facility. It's banked. It's like a 6-lane, and it's like really banked, I guess. So, and it's new type of surface, all the state of the art. So, we're looking forward. We're looking forward to competing in it, and so hopefully we can have a good squad there compete.
Good deal. Well, Lisa, before I let you go, I would like for you to reflect with us just a little bit. This past month would have been the fourth year anniversary of Coach Raver's passing. And I know you worked with him very closely on the track field. And of course, you were even under his tutelage, right, as well. When you think about what Coach Raver has meant to Batesville athletics, and it kind of like Coach
Garrett said, really just southeastern Indiana as a whole. What are some of the things that come to mind for you?
Yeah, so definitely just like, it's what Coach Garrett said. It's just the knowledge was just amazing.
Right.
But,
right.
I had the opportunity of not only being a student in his chemistry class, but also being a member of the track team. And when I moved back here and became the head coach, immediately I knew I wanted him to be a part of my coaching staff. And so he volunteered. He wouldn't have it any other way.
Right.
And so he volunteered and basically filled in any spot that I did not have, could not get a coach for. So one year he was pole vaulter. One year he focused on long jump. Then he did, throws. And then at the end, though, he started doing high jump and just kind of helped tag team high jump so that I could be on the oval and coach more there. But I always told the kids, I said, do not miss an opportunity to talk to him. Ask him anything. Mm-hmm. Ask him anything you want to know about any sport.
Sure.
And he knows it. And he can tell you so many stories.
Right.
And I probably miss that the most.
Sure.
Or picking his brain a little bit about different things. Right. So many things that he's been a part of. And just like Coach Garrett said, he'd be sitting here talking to, when we would have the seniors here or whatever, and then he would remember something about their parents or their cousin or their, aunt or whatever, and even like any other school that was here, it would jar a memory and there'd be another story that he would tell.
Right.
And I do want to mention that we're actually having our inaugural Raver Relays this year.
Oh.
It's going to be Saturday, April 6th. And it's going to be relays, so it's going to be a little bit different than a normal outdoor, and we want it to be, like, super fun.
Sure.
Right now we have 6 teams that are coming. We'd love to get 8. But one thing that we're doing different is, like I said, we wanted to have fun, so we're doing a lot of relays.
Sure.
So the hurdles we're going to keep the same, because sometimes it's hard for schools to have four hurdlers.
Sure.
And same thing with some of the field events. So we're keeping those the same, but we're going to do a 4x1, a 4x8, a 4x200, a distance medley, like that's in the indoor. We're also doing a sprint medley, which is a 200, 200, 400, 800. And then we're going to do a 4x1 throwers relay, co-ed throwers relay. So that would be fun. And then a 4x4. All the money that we raise, and we'd love to have any sponsorship or anything, but the money that we raise, half of it is going to go to his scholarship fund, and then half of it will stay with the track and field.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then one thing that was really, really important to Coach Raver because of his disability and things was the managers.
Right.
So we're asking each team to recognize one manager. And so we're going to recognize one manager from each team that is there. And Sally's going to have some special things for them because that was always something that was just really important to Ron. So we're really excited to have this as to start, and hopefully it can get bigger and bigger every year.
Well, awesome.
Any alumni that have been out there that know Ron and either want to help that day or whatever, just reach out. We'd love to have anybody to come and help.
Well, that sounds like that would be a lot of fun. Ravers Relays, what's the date on that again?
April 6th, Saturday, April 6th.
Saturday, April 6th. Great. Lisa, thanks so much. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, and good luck this weekend.
Right. Thank you.
And we'll definitely be checking in with you later on, maybe around the outdoor season when that gets off.
That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. That was Coach Lisa Galsman of Batesville Track and Field. We'll be back with more Coach's Corner right after this on Country 103.9 WRBI, the new WRBI app.
Cecil here from Ison's Family Pizza.
Cup and Char.
Our Cup and Char pepperoni has been an area favorite for years.
Cup and Char.
But we now have a new addition to our Cup and Char lineup, Cup and Char sliced sausage. Our sausage is a sliced mild Italian sausage that cups when baked.
Cup and Char.
Our new Cup and Char sausage is available on all of our pizza lineup.
Cup and Char.
Get your Cup and Char sausage or Cup and Char pepperoni at Ison's Family Pizza, 812-933-0333, IsonsFamilyPizza.com, or downtown. downtown Batesville.
When looking for the highest standard of HVAC service and care, turn to Hurt and Elko, your local Lennox Premier dealer. Hurt and Elko and their Premier dealer status means you are certain to be working with a company who has the highest level of training, professionalism, and customer satisfaction. For a limited time, they're offering up to $1,900 in rebates on a brand new Lennox system or finance with low monthly payments. Call Hurt and Elko today at 812-934-4646 or visit them online at hurt-elko.com to learn more. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
We are here for you.
At George's, we have respiratory therapists on staff that can help you rest easy. Our services include CPAP and BiPAP, the latest in oxygen technology, nebulizers, and more. Our professional staff will answer all of your questions and make you or your loved one feel at ease with whatever challenges you're faced with. Ask for us. Let our family take care of yours.
Southeastern Indiana REMC is now offering high-speed fiber internet to its members. Choose from our basic, plus, or premium residential packages with speeds from 100 megabits per second to 1 gig. Prices range from $64.95 to $109.95 per month, and there are no data caps. Get the connectivity speed you need at a price you can afford. Visit SEIREMC.com or call 1-800-737-4111 to check your address eligibility and to sign up for service today. Our friendly customer service representatives are standing by to take your call. SEI Fiber, connecting at the speed of light.
Back to more Coach's Corner, delivered by Ison's Family Pizza.
Get out and support the teams in your area. They all deserve your attendance and appreciate you being there.
On 103.9 WRBI.
And Coach's Corner continues here on WRBI as we broadcast live from Ison's Family Pizza in downtown Batesville. I want to thank our sponsors, of course, our title sponsor, Ison's Family Pizza. No better place to come and get great food and hear directly from the coaches in the area and their student athletes. But a special thanks as well goes to Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep, Margaret Mary Health, Great Plains Communications, and Decatur County Memorial Hospital. Had fun there speaking with Coach Lisa Galson about track and field. They competed this past weekend in state trials for indoor competition. They'll continue that indoor season this weekend. And then Lisa made mention of, sounds like it's going to be a great event, Raver Relays, taking place on Saturday, April 6th. If you don't have anything to do that day, make sure you check that event out. Proceeds will go to the Ron Raver Scholarship Fund, as well as to support Batesville track and field. Let's change gears just a little bit and go back to the hardwood floors and talk some round ball with head coach Matt Pickrell of the Milan Indians. Coach, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Coach, so you close out your season, and let me just say, you know, if you want to look at the season in terms of numbers and L's and W's, season didn't necessarily go the way that you wanted to, but I could tell from each time that I spoke to you throughout the season, you felt good about the progress that the team had made in terms of where they were when the season began until the end of the season, which closed out this past weekend. That a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. Four wins is what nobody had that down as a goal at the beginning of the year. You know, we had much higher expectations for ourselves, and it is what it is. You know, the four wins is not what we wanted, but it's where we were.
Right.
You know, and those were the things that kind of plagued us all year long with playing consistently and being able to finish playing a whole game. Mm-hmm. You know, there's very few games you look at on our schedule where it was a non-starter for us, like where we just didn't play well or we just didn't have it. Most of those games we played hard, we're in them, we're competitive for most of the way, and maybe it was a bad quarter, maybe it was two bad quarters that got the best of us, and right. We weren't able to overcome it. Throughout the whole year, I felt like the guys had good effort, were bought into what we were doing. It was just the lack of execution and finishing in those games that really hurt us.
Yeah, when you go up against a stout North Decatur Chargers team, but from what I can tell, gave them everything they wanted and gave yourself a chance going down the stretch.
Absolutely. I mean, we went out and executed the game plan perfectly in the first half. Had a 10-point lead, up 30-20 at halftime. Could not have set ourselves up in a better situation.
Right.
And, you know, we felt like we had them scouted pretty well and knew what they were going to try to do and knew what we needed to do. And we did that for a half of basketball for probably 2.5 quarters, we did exactly what we wanted to, but then the meltdown came. And right. it just came down to, and it wasn't necessarily that our offense stalled out. We just defensively could not stop them from doing what they wanted to do.
Right.
Muckerhyde wanted to get downhill, get into the paint, and
sure.
they were 9 of 10 on twos in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
And all nine of those makes were twos.
Wow.
In the paint.
Wow.
And it's all stuff that we had been preventing early on in the game, and then later on we just opened up and let them by and got us beat.
Okay. When you look at the season as a whole, Coach, though, again, from where you started to where things end, what are you most proud of when you look back on this squad?
The effort we had from the guys. I mean, it's no doubt. Whether it was a practice day or it was a game day, you knew what you were going to get from our guys. And, you know, at the end of the day, the execution wasn't perfect. We didn't achieve the goals we had set forth, but I knew with the group we had, no matter what I was going to get from them. I was going to get a group that was bought in, that was going to listen, that was going to give it their all, and was going to go out there and compete the hardest they could. And we did that every day of practice, every game day we had. And that's what I'm going to remember most is just the people we had there. It's like none of us are going to be happy about the wins and losses when you look back at this, but we're all going to be happy with the group that we had and the effort that they had and the type of people they are, the character that we have of these young student athletes.
And with that said, you've brought a couple of your seniors with you. Take an opportunity to speak with them, Ethan Pierce and Trenton Langford, both with us. And Ethan, we'll start with you. As you look back over your high school career, what are some of the things that you'll cherish or remember most about your time as a Milan Indian?
Well, I came from a small Catholic school, St. Nicholas from Sunman.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, played 4th through 8th grade there. And then high school, I moved over. Me and Ben Reilly, another senior.
Okay.
Had to start fresh in Milan, learn all the guys, learn the system. I started on the C team. I wasn't the most talented player. I came a long way. I came off the bench, C team, played limited minutes. But sophomore, junior year, started to find a role. Sophomore year, I was playing a heavy minutes.
Okay.
Junior year, I started by the end of the year playing a full game at times. And then senior year, came out starting on the year, enjoying it. At the end of the year, I lost my role, but I still played heavy minutes. I felt coaches could trust me when they needed it, and
right.
I had a blast. Obviously, missed our goal on our wins. I had higher expectations, but I felt in almost all our games we were competitive and gave ourselves a shot, but failed execution at times. But now I enjoyed my time here in Milan. I'm going to miss it.
No doubt. No doubt. What's next for you in, after graduation?
I will be attending Mount St. Joseph University. I will be studying business marketing and also playing football.
All right. Good deal. So multi-sport athlete, not just
football. Is by far my better sport.
I can kind of see some of that. You got football size, no doubt about that. Let me ask you this, and you know, I love it when I do get an opportunity to talk to some of the student athletes in the areas, and I don't care what the school is, I don't care what the sport is. Everybody always talks about the bus trips. When you look back, yeah, a smile comes across the face. When you look back, come on, one that is radio proper. Give me one of those bus trips, a happening on a bus trip that you'll always be fond of and remember.
On the long bus rides, we would always have these sports debates, whether it's football or basketball, who's talking about who's the greatest, whether between it's Jordan, LeBron.
Hold on. What do y'all know about Jordan?
The highlight reel.
Okay, all right. I'll give you that. Go ahead.
But, no, definitely sport debates were always the best. We would do drafts, just seeing who could draft a better team with
right.
different categories, just stuff to entertain ourselves. Always was a blast.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, listen, congratulations, though, on finishing your career as a Milan Indian, and we look forward to seeing what you do next.
Thank you.
All right. We'll go ahead and pass the mic down to Trenton Langford. Trenton, pretty much basically the same. When you look at your time as a Milan Indian and you look back over your career, what will you remember most? What do you carry with you as you go out through life?
Probably just the ability to play with a lot of my friends now.
Right.
A lot of them, I went to Milan my whole life, so a lot of us were together from kindergarten, playing on the kindergarten football, basketball team,
right,
all the way up through high school. So a lot of them, I've hung out with them for a majority of the year, every single year of schooling.
Wow.
And we had the same classes because we're a small school up until high school. So we all had the same classes and you knew everybody.
Right. And you're a multi-sport as well, right? Football, yes. Basketball. What do you like more? Football.
Football. Like you said with Ethan, we're both.
You got a little size to you. No doubt. And your plans after graduation?
I plan to go and get a pharmacy degree. I still don't know what school, but I'm planning to go to pharmacy.
Okay. Good deal. Good deal. So you guys are showing some prowess in the classroom as well, not just out on the hardwoods or the gridiron. And Trenton, same thing. Now, I know with your dad being the AD, you can't go too deep into these stories that took place on the bus, but you got to give us something. Tell us about one of these infamous bus trips that you'll always remember.
I'm probably going to touch back on football season.
Sure.
But from our long road games, we, especially after win, we'd all sing karaoke. We just pick random songs. Any songs we wanted, we'd pick karaoke.
So a cappella karaoke, no doubt, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow. We all had to have our phones up with the lyrics, of course. We knew the chorus.
There you go. Oh, goodness gracious.
Everyone just looked back at us like we were weird, but it was fine. It was fun. We enjoyed it.
I can only imagine. Well, Trenton, listen, again, congratulations on a great career at Milan as a Milan Indian, and good luck to you in all your future endeavors.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was Coach Matt Prickle with the Milan Indians, as well as two of his seniors, Trenton and Ethan. And we will continue with more Coach's Corner right after this on Country 103.9 WRBI and the new WRBI app.
Oh my, that's big.
Cecil Eisen here from Eisen's Family Pizza in downtown Batesville. Eisen's Family Pizza can satisfy even the biggest appetites with our 8-inch mega chip cookie.
Oh.
Our 12-inch That's a Big Pretzel.
My.
And our 20-inch hand-tossed pizzas.
That's big.
That come with a Target printed on the bottom of the box.
Oh my, that is big.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for specials and events. Eisen's Family Pizza. Find us at 812-933-0333, eisensfamilypizza.com, or on George Street, downtown Batesville.
A Maytag washer can handle the tough loads with extra power to boost stain fighting on any wash cycle. The built-in water faucet is ready to give clothes a quick rinse or a long soak. Plus, the deep fill option delivers more water when you want it. Visit Gehring's to see how a Maytag laundry pair can help you power through laundry day. Gehring's and Maytag, 316 North Main, Batesville.
Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep is a proud sponsor of local athletics. I'm Michelle Galk, and at Batesville Chrysler, we value this community and the relationships we've built with our customers. As your hometown car dealer, we understand the importance of staying connected to the community. We commend all our student athletes and their hard work and dedication. That's why we're proud to sponsor local sports coverage so that fans can stay connected no matter where we are. Remember, you can buy a car anywhere, but when you buy at Batesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep, we can all work together to support the future of this great community.
Your independence is priceless. Decatur County Memorial Hospital's Rehabilitation Services team helps you each step of the way in your healing journey, getting you back to the activities you love. Our team's brand new location and building in the state-of-the-art Rehabilitation Medical Offices building supports our community's needs and is a life-changing expansion right on the DCMH campus. Experience the ease of access to our therapeutic service offerings close by. Decatur County Memorial Hospital, the quality care you want close by.
Coach's Corner, delivered by Eisen's Family Pizza, continues.
I want to thank all of our guests, thank all of our sponsors, thank Eisen's for allowing us to be here, thank all of you for listening in.
From 103.9 WRBI.
Coach's Corner continues here on WRBI, live from Eisen's Family Pizza here in downtown Batesville. Cecil Eisen and his crew, they really do us right here on Monday nights. It's a great place to be, great place to eat, and it really serves as a hub for this Coach's Corner, for all the coaches to come in and their players. If you never had a chance to check out the Raver Room in the back, you should do so. You should treat yourself. Come in, get you a slice, maybe come in on lunch, check out the buffet. And just spend some time in the Raver Room looking at all the pictures on the wall. Take a trip back through time, if you would. with all of the different memorabilia, photos, newspaper clippings, you name it, all of it hanging up in the Ron Raver room. Jim Williams joining me now, the sports director for WRBI. And Jim, I know you didn't get an opportunity to meet Coach Raver, but I tell you, he was really, really a special kind of guy.
That's what I understand.
Yeah, you know, he really, really loved the kids and loved being there for them. You heard Coach Garrett, Coach Gausman, talk about their time spent with him. I can tell you, when I first came to WRBI, being the last man in, so to speak, everybody else, you know, had...
Hey, wait a minute, that's me now.
Yeah. So everybody else had been on board or been here for quite some time. I didn't really know anybody, but I knew Coach Raver just from, people speaking of him and, of course, from this show.
Sure.
And I never had the nerve or the guts to approach him, whatever. I just would see him from a distance, this, that, and the other. One afternoon, I get a phone call. Number I didn't recognize. I take the call, and the young lady on the other end of the phone is Sally Raver. She introduces herself and says, "My husband Ron would like to speak with you." And I was taken back, obviously. Mm-hmm. Ron comes on the phone and he says, "Taryn, Sally, and I are going on vacation next week, and we won't be able to do the show. Would you be able to sit in for me?" And obviously, I said, "Coach, say no more, no doubt. I'd be honored. I'd be delighted to, you know." And he says, "Well, Sally will get your email, and I'll send you some stuff. I'll send you some notes, this, that, and the other, you know." And I thought, okay, good. You know, he'll send me some stuff to kind of help me out. And, you know, the whole week I'm thinking, you know, I got to live up. I got to live up to the Raver standard here.
Sure.
You know, I was taken back that he asked. I saw it as a huge honor, still do, as I sit in this seat right now. And we did the show, this, that, and the other. After the show was over, I get a call from that same number that I didn't recognize. It's Sally and Ron again. And, you know, and he called me back just to say, "Hey, we were listening to the show. It sounded great. Thank you so much." And it meant the world to me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Here you are today.
And you know, and yeah, the rest, as they say, is history. But you know, the time that I spent with Ron and Sally, all I can tell you, they were givers.
Givers. Very nice.
Sally just freely would give of their time, even in the transition. When Coach's passing and we were looking to get things off, Sally freely gave of her time to make sure that Abby, myself, that we had everything that we needed to continue this show and carry on. And, she was almost like an executive producer there for that first year, making sure that if we needed anything, or if we didn't have a phone number or didn't really know how to do that, she was there. And it was just so special. In fact, you know, the tagline that I use to close every one of these shows, a quote from Ron himself, Sally gave me that information. I said to Sally, I said, "Listen, I from all the stories I hear from people, you know, he always had these tidbits of information, these one-line zingers that he would leave with people, with players, coaches, et cetera." And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, you know, if you would, you know, if you have the time, if you'd be so kind, you know, can you get some of those quotes together?" And, you know, 24 hours later, here I go. I got an email, and wow, she's got all these Ron Raver quotes together. And the one that we use is the one that just jumped off the page to me, as something I could hear him. In other words, I could hear him say it, you know, and he kind of just jumped off the page. But
I've seen Ms. Raver come into the radio station a couple times, and always a lovely lady, a giant smile on her face every time. And, it must have been some fantastic days back then.
No doubt about it. And the spirit in which Coach Raver and Sally, that giving spirit, that spirit was really embodied in that crowd on Saturday night, Championship Saturday, from the Batesville faithful. They came out in droves. You were there.
Oh, yeah.
You saw it.
It was massive.
And I may even alluded to it on Saturday to you, Jim. I can't wait for you to experience this week what it's like when the school in your town wins a sectional championship, and all the hopes and dreams riding on the shoulders of those young men as they head off into regional play. It's really a special thing. You know, I, like you, I'm a transplant too. Right? I'm not originally from here, right, but I can tell you the first thing I noticed day one being in Indiana was the amount of focus that the communities put on the support, rather. Let me put it, I won't say the focus, but the amount of support that these communities give their student athletes, I thought was phenomenal. It was unlike anything. Listen, I'm from the South.
Oh, sure.
Where football is king and almost a religion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've done my time in South Carolina and Kentucky and Tennessee, definitely.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
But even in those areas, it is nothing like the emphasis put or support giving to student athletes in southeastern Indiana.
That's right.
And it's really just been a wonderful thing to see and watch and be a part of. And I think your journey will be the same way.
Well, thanks a lot. I sure hope so, Terrence. If it's anything nearly as good as yours, then I'm in for a good time. I do want to announce something here on Coach's Corner that we'll also be reminding folks of first thing tomorrow morning on the Sportscast. We are going to have live coverage of both the Batesville Bulldog and Oldenburg Twister games this weekend live. We will only have one on the radio on 103.9 FM. That's right. Going to be Batesville taking on Scottsburg, but both teams will be on WRBIRadio.com and the new WRBI app. We have a second channel on the app now. It's WRBI2. And so when you get into the app or the website, WRBIRadio.com, you'll see a second logo, WRBI with a black number 2 right behind it. You go to your tab bar where it shows other streams, and that is where you're going to get the Oldenburg Greenwood broadcast. That's going to be going on at the same time as the Batesville and Scottsburg game.
Yeah, that's exciting news, Jim, to be able to bring both area schools' regional games. So if you thought about downloading the new WRBI app, just haven't gotten a chance to do it yet, now is the time
to
do so. Download it on your smartphone. Download it on your tablets, if you would. And when you download that app, as soon as it pops up, it'll give you the option to choose which stream you want. Do you want WRBI or do you want WRBI2? You select your stream, sit back, and enjoy. And as Jim just said, we'll have both games streaming live on Saturday.
And you can switch between the streams, too.
Yes, you can check out Oldenburg for a little bit, switch to Batesville for a little bit, switch back to Oldenburg. So it's a situation where wasn't sure if we were going to be able to bring you both games because, lo and behold, they're at the exact same time. But we are. We are going to be able to do both of those. Couldn't have one at 1 and one at 4 o'clock.
No,
that would have been too easy.
Yeah, right. IHSAA, we got to talk to next year.
But, yeah, so both games will start at 4. Pre-games somewhere in the 3:30 range. We'll get things started there. And I got to tell you, I'm excited for both of these teams. You and I had an opportunity not that long ago, just towards the end of the regular season, to take in a couple of games with these Oldenburg Twisters, and they did not disappoint.
They did not. And even the one that I got to take in almost 2 weeks ago now without you, and with Brian Samples, when Oldenburg was playing South Decatur.
Yes.
Both those teams came super alive, and we had a great time just watching it and trying to describe it to people. These young people were making college moves, NBA moves. It was superb ball and just an incredible game. And So Oldenburg has come quite a ways during their season from what I've been able to see. Yeah. And I think that South Decatur matchup was really interesting and good for them. And I'm hoping Coach Michael Higdon will say the same.
Well, had to have been, of course, because South Decatur would be a sectional school. They would have had to go through to get to that championship. No small feat. They played a very game Jacksonville team in that championship.
Man, that was tough.
Jacksonville, of course, were looking to three-peat as a sectional champion there. All the success that they've had in that building, at that Edinburgh Gymnasium, all of that was riding on the JCD side. But OA, the Twisters, they really stood tall and was able to fight through all of that, come out victorious. Can't say enough about their standout point guard, Connor Miles.
Yes. Number zero.
Yeah, Agent Zero to you, sir.
I bet.
Connor Miles, you know, his play was also recognized as they had him in the voting for a Indiana High School Athletic Association Player of the Week.
Wow.
He was up for Player of the Week honors one of the weeks this season heading down the stretch. So, says a lot about that young man, says a lot about this team. And when they go on to take on Greenwood Christian, fun fact, the soccer team played Greenwood Christian
really
for a regional championship as well. The Greenwood Christian, it was a close game. I want to say 1-0 was probably the final score. And let's say there were some question marks on that win.
Uh-huh.
So I assure you, as an organization, OA would like to right that wrong. And if they can do it in basketball and if they can do it on Saturday,
why not?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure the OA faithful, another school that travels extremely well, I'm sure they'll be along for the ride. They'll show up and show out in Martinsville as well.
We'll look forward to seeing each and every one there and hope they have all their devices in the gym locked right onto us.
There you go. That's another good point. If you do put the app on your smartphone, on your cellular device, you can listen to the play-by-play as you watch. Granted, we're probably 2 seconds behind, but if you can tolerate that, we'll hopefully give you maybe some insight on something you may have missed.
We hope to, anyway.
While watching the game. That's going to do it for us on this edition of Coach's Corner. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, to do it all again. A special thanks to our coaches that came out, Coach Aaron Garrett, newly announced Coach of the Year for District 3 and sectional champion. Special thanks to Lisa Gasson of Batesville Track and Field. Good luck this weekend to her and the squad. And a special thanks to Matt Prickle and his seniors for stepping in. Challenging season, but I tell you, that young man is breathing life into that program. His energy and his belief, and not just himself, but his belief in his players, that they will get where they need to be, will serve them well in the future.
And he's doing it in the anniversary year, 70 years since Milan first became prominent.
Wow, look at that. Look at that. So special thanks to all of those guys. Also, special thanks to John Heil back at the station. Thanks for engineering and producing another wonderful show. Big ups to Abby Brinson, greatest showrunner in the business, for making all of this happen and happen on time. Jim, as always, I appreciate you stopping by and hanging out with me briefly. And so from all of us, this is Terrence Arney saying thanks so much for listening and enjoy the rest of your sports week. And in the immortal words of the Hall of Famer himself, he would always say, trust and believe in yourself. You've got this. You've been listening to Coach's Corner on Country 103.9 WRBI and the new WRBI app. Good night.